from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast that hopefully will be like a floating pram for you, cradling you in a nice, safe place where whatever's keeping you awake can be forgotten, like the floating pram, was forgotten. But you'll forget whatever's keeping you awake so you could drift off. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And here's a couple of ways we're able to keep this podcast free for everybody. But this is Scoots here. This is where ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answers to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. It's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz. Got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix Sleep Quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. And this really, you see, why are you getting so excited at the beginning of a sleep podcast, Scoots? And it's like, well, I want it free for everybody, not behind a paywall. And people like Paige Elizabeth, who supported Brooklyn and got some sweet new Brooklyn and bedding. Paige and our partnership with Brooklyn enable us to keep this podcast going for free. That's wonderful. And it is a bit of a contradiction trying to make a sleep podcast and keep it free. with an energetic beginning to the podcast, but I want you to be able to access it whenever you need it. So thank you, Paige. If you support a sponsor, particularly some of our newer sponsors like KiwiCo or Grove, what KiwiCo subscription did you sign up for? What did you get in your Grove box? Did you get that laundry dispenser? Isn't that cool? So let me know about it. Tag the sponsor, tag me, so they know the partnership with Sleep With Me is valuable. And I know to thank you on the Sleepy Supporter Zone, like Paige Elizabeth is, which is now over. Hey, Mystery Bard, as it happens, I was going to ask you a question about your new podcast, As It Happens. What in the name of Barbara Bud? Can you sing about that and everybody that helps out on this show?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes. Too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, runner, runner.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullaby song.
I'm making a podcast.
About writing songs.
It's called As It Happens.
Song the day.
And you can find it.
Just search for it.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Veil Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure to sign up for our newsletter. Just in case I have news, you know, it'll be cool. Like, I promise, like, that I'll send something cool out there. If I ever send an email via the newsletter, if you sign up for the newsletter, you'll get it. It'd probably be interesting or news or something fun behind the scenes. So you could do that at sleepwithmepodcast.com/newsletter. Newsletter pending would be what it would be, but it's just sleepwithmepodcast.com/newsletter. And that's it. What do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's, thoughts you're thinking about, feelings, emotions, physical sensations, changes in schedule or weather or situations, work, first, second, third shift, whatever it is. It could be anything. Whatever's keeping me awake, though, I'm here to help. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to create a safe place here. Nice, ruminous. I don't think that, that's definitely the wrong word. Maybe we'll go back to that room word. And I'm not talking about R-O-O-M. But, this safe place is both cozy and roomy. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Oh, so creaky are my dulcet tones. Or, no, I guess that's not true. My tones are both dulcet and creaky. I guess that could be a question on one of those tests where they try to test your logic. In my quick case, I'd score higher if they were testing my illogic. That would be like a 90s kind of hip hop test my logic. That would be like just one line in a song. It can't be standardized, so what was I saying? Oh, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders. There you go. That was a miniature one. Superfluous tangents. I'm going to go off topic. I'm going to use filler words. My metaphors will be mild at best. Most of the time, they'll probably be incomplete, like my sentences. But I'm here to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff as you fall asleep. So if you're new, let me give you a couple pieces of information, because I know this podcast is a bit different, and if you're new to it, you might be in a situation where, hey, you're trying to fall asleep, you're looking for help. That's what I'm here for. But this podcast doesn't work for everybody, but it almost worked for no one on their first try. That's a pretty universal reaction for regular listeners. But we have retained hundreds of thousands of people that listen almost on a nightly basis. So I will say, give it a few tries, but here's just things that can help. One, kind of listen in a loose, unfocused way at first, because this podcast doesn't really follow normal structure or normal expectations. And also just acknowledge, yeah, this is a little bit different. I'm not sure how to feel about it. I'm a little bit skeptical. This safe place has room for your skepticism and doubt, so that's totally fine. Or that, hey, this podcast might not be for me. I totally want that possibility to exist, but just because it does, right? And also I really want to do is help you if I can. So kind of just look at it like a fuzzy cloud. That's one thing. Second thing that can kind of defy expectations is the structure of the show, which is just a reality of the structure of a sleep podcast that I want to keep free for everybody. So show starts off with a few minutes of business. Then there's an intro, which we're doing now. The intros are about 12 to 18 minutes. Then I'll talk about the intro a little bit more in a second. Then there's some business. Then there'll be a story, which tonight will be kind of me trying to make a recap of Mandalorian episode 6. Or chapter 6, if you will. But you if you watch that episode, you say, Scoots, it didn't sound like the episode that I say, well, that's good. I pointed out some new things and some stuff you could possibly observe on your fourth or fifth try. And if you've never seen Mandalorian, don't worry. It could spoil it, but, you probably will forget or sleep through it. So it's made to be sleepy and not engaging. And then the show ends with some thank yous. So that's the structure of the show. The intro, though, can throw new listeners off, totally understandably, because it's 12 to 18 to 20 to 19 to 13 to 14 or 12 or so minutes long. So instead of me saying, this is what we're going to talk about tonight, this is what the show is, and this is what we're going to talk about, and then let's do it, that would be kind of an efficient intro. Name of the show, who am I? What, where, when, why, how. I would never make, that would be like an hour show for me. So part of it is just in my nature, but most of it is that the idea of the intro evolved over the history of this podcast because I learned that listeners need some time to wind down. You can't just put someone to sleep. In my experience for this show, this isn't true for everybody. And that people need a little bit of time, whether it's as they're getting ready for bed, listening and, brushing their teeth or, journaling or drawing or stretching, whatever it is, or just chilling. Or if you're in bed, kind of starting to unwind, the intro gives you time for that. And it's different every single time, but it's also similar every time because I tend to, I want to welcome the new listeners and re-welcome the regular listeners and just helps you unwind. And it kind of keeps me connected to the listeners. But you can skip ahead. I would try the podcast out a few times first, but some listeners skip ahead 20 minutes and they start listening there. So kind of see how it goes. So that's the structure of the show. This is also, it can be different, is that it's a podcast, kind of like I said at the beginning, you don't really need to listen to this show. So some people listen and they don't listen to anything I say. They lower me to a mumble or they have me under a pillow or they just don't pay attention. They're hearing my words. That's how kind of sometimes I consume, particularly play by play. Is like sports. Like I used to listen to that for comfort. Actually during the day when I was at different jobs or driving and I never was paying attention. It's just that something about that comforted me. So for some people, that's how they listen. Other people listen to the show in a loose way and some people listen. So you don't need to listen. You can kind of see what your relationship with the show is. And in the end, it'll probably evolve and change. But if you do need to listen, I'm here to the very end, which kind of goes into the next point, is this is a podcast that doesn't really put you to sleep. There's no pressure from me for you to fall asleep. I'm here to keep you company as you drift off. And that's why the shows are an hour, to give you plenty of time. But if you can't sleep, or you woke up in the middle of the night, as I have this week multiple times, you know, I'm here to keep you company there too. So I'm here to the end, whether you're listening or you're asleep, I'm here for you. So that's the structure of the show. That's the kind of things. I mean, that's like, I was talking about that room word, rumination. And that's a nice, like, it's not an, I guess, like, it's a light version of, like, you say, well, I'm ruminating. And you say, what, on the next great, you know, philosophical thing, Chidi? And I'd say, no, this is Scoots. I was just ruminating about my room temperature last night. That's what I was literally doing. And then I don't know if you can go from a rumination to a debate, but I said, well, should I get out of bed? Should I do something? Should I, okay, maybe I'll put my pillow over my head and that'll fix it. So this podcast is there if you ruminate or you don't, or you debate or whatever it is, to kind of get in the way of that process and to give you an alternative to listen to, which is mostly me kind of rambling and going off topic and not getting to the point. Because I'm your bore bud. That's my job, is to be here for you, because I've been there and I know how it feels. And in the end, I really truly do believe you deserve a good night's sleep, that you deserve a safe place where you can let the day slide away and you could drift off into sleep and you could be rested and able to engage in your life a little bit more. And that eventually you get a good night's sleep majority of the time. That's what I shoot for, just the majority of the time. Not all the time. Thanks, sand person that, you know, comes to me on an occasional basis. But that, you know, you can get enough rest that you could flourish, that you could really, you know, start to grow and flower. So I'm here to help, and this is the only way I can help, is just by telling these, there's not much else I really can do other than to be here to tell you a story and keep you company. I'm not an expert in sleep or that, you know, I'm not an expert in anything else, really. And this is really the only way I can help. And the reason I do it is because I just know how it feels in that rumination zone. Luckily, there's no highways to the rumination zone, because you'd say, I mean, it's interesting that ruination, I don't even know if that's a word, but, and rumination do, like, are closely related. Do they rhyme? Rumination and my rumination. I guess now we're getting back into some 90s hip-hop with the standardized test given by the nation. I guess it would be nation... Rumination. We could work on it. You know, I'll try to get a hold of, I don't know who I'd be best to lie. I mean, maybe I just better stick to, what I'm good at, which is keeping you company, being a goofball, going off topic, and, using filler words. Boom. You just saw that. So I'm glad you're here. I really appreciate your time and you coming by, checking the show out, or coming back night after night. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive. I really want to help you fall asleep. And here's a couple of ways we're able to keep this podcast free for everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will
will vary.
Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.
All right, everybody, we're back with our Mandalorian coverage, Chapter 6, The Prisoner. And it's just starting up with the Lucasfilm Limited thing. Preview, let me see the preview coverage, so let me pause it here. Come with me, lots of squirt guns, the kid, yes. Okay, then the episode opens. Now, this episode is a little bit different, and it shows the potential of a kind of serial and episodic series. And I don't know, I particularly enjoyed this. I watched it a lot. And maybe it was the casting. Maybe it was just because it was so much different than all the other episodes. And it was contained. But we see the opening. We hear the flute type sounds. And we see the Razor Crest landing in a hangar. There's drums. Also like how it kind of already, it's the beginning of the episode, but it kind of already started. And Mando's walking around to some sort of hangar, some sort of base, looking around. There's other people there, other beings. So some of them stare at him. Everybody seems to be working. So a couple of people, and then some dude says, "Mando, that you?" He goes under that bucket. Ran is that guy's name. He goes, "I didn't think I'd ever see you again." This guy looks like he probably plays slide guitar on the weekends or just sits around drinking cans of stuff and smoking. But he's like, "Oh, geez, stuff with the guild is not working out, huh?" And Mando says, "Don't worry about it." And Rand says, "Well, you know the policy. No questions asked around here, old buddy." And then, let's see, "No questions. What's the job?" Mando says. Oh, he says, "You're welcome back anytime." "What's the job?" The guy says, "Okay, well, we got one of our buddies is got busted, got nabbed, and we got a crew to spring him. It's five person job. I got four." And then he says, "All you need is a ride, though, and you brought it. It's already been brought in," as someone once said. And he goes, "What about me, man? I got Beskar armor." He goes, "You only care about my ship. It wasn't part of the deal." And he goes, "Well, that's the only reason I let you in here, was your ship." He goes, "Come on, man. Don't you know anything about gratitude? Aren't you grateful to me?" It's funny, though. I guess it's a little bit of exposition about the ship through the episode. You could tell they know each other pretty well, because he gives Mando a hard time. Then we meet Mayfeld, played by Bill Burr. He looks like a little bit like somebody out of a G.I. Joe comic. He's got some swagger. They talk about Mando's past a long time ago. "Remember what you once said one time, Mando?" Maybe not Mando's greatest moments. "They had some crazy days, him and Ran." He says, "Yeah, that was a long time ago." And he goes, "Well, I don't leave the house," Ran says. So Mayfield's going to be the point man on this job. And if he says that, it's coming from me. And kind of like a little alpha off here. Mayfield says, but Mayfield's not really alpha. So he says, "Are you going to listen to me or not?" The guy says, "Well, things changed around." He goes, "Mayfeld," he goes, "he's really good. Don't worry about it. He used to work in the Empire." And Mando goes, "Well, that's not saying much." He goes, "Well, I wasn't a stormtrooper." I don't know if this is the first time we learn about that the ship is called the Razor Crest or not. I don't know why I put down slot machine. But Mayfeld's not impressed with the Razor Crest. "Oh, Canto Bite slot machine," he says. Then we meet Berg, who is played by Clancy Brown. Though it takes a lot of looking. Berg's interesting. He's the muscle. So this is a Mandalorian. Not impressed. Thought he'd be bigger. Then we meet a droid named Zero. Now, we've seen droids this, like, type on Nevarro. And the Mandalorian says, what, droids? And he says, I thought you said you had four. And then it says, like, one of his axes. Also, the droid is voiced by someone famous from the It crowd. So his ex or something, she says, hello, Mando. Shihan, I think, is, she goes, I missed you. And she goes, this is shiny. You wear it well. Talking about his Beskar. Shihan is a little heartbroken. You know, Mando, from Mando. And they say, okay, we don't got much time. We got to get to work here. Get going. Oh, somebody also says, learn from the best. Also, the Berg calls Mando tiny. Then it opens. Then we see the title card, and it says, The Prisoner. Then we have Zero on the comms doing a check. Hyperdrive, landing gear. He sees Grief Karga trying to get a message through. Deliver the quarry. And go, oh, that's interesting. Then they go over the plan. Fortified transport, limited window. On and off, New Republic, max transport. Mando goes, oh boy, no way. This thing's, he goes, this is serious business. They go, job is a job, man. Don't mess it up. It'll be fine, Mando. Plus, it's a droid run ship. Then Zero says, you know, your ship's really not that nice. It's kind of a mess. But at least it goes off the grid and can jam codes. It's only 67.3% a ship efficient. Rand says, yeah, it's an off-the-grid ship. It doesn't exist. And it can jam the code. But it's, you know, tricky flying. Mando goes, I don't know if I could pull that off. They go, oh, yeah, that's why Zero's flying his ship. He's quicker and smarter. He's the best. Mando, of course, doesn't trust droids. I think he says, I don't trust anybody. And Rand says, just like the good old days, don't worry. Then let's see. Just like the good old days, he's the best. Don't worry, Mando. Oh, Mando says, I don't trust a droid. Rand says, I don't trust anybody. Maybe, I don't know. They get on the ship, they depart. Gate goes up. Then Mando and Zero, I think, are in the. Rand kind of does it like, hey, see you, buddy. Yeah, thingamajig. They head into hyperspace eventually. So we see that it's kind of like a space, not a, what do they call that? A spaceport or something, or a satellite. You know, we get a view of Berg pacing, Mayfeld and Shihan chilling, everybody getting each other's nerves. Is Mando watching Zeros fly the ship? He says, you could go below, man. I'm going to go into hyperspace. I got it from here. Let's see. Oh, then down below, Berg opens Mando's safe and laughs. Mando appears down there and closes the door. He says, that's not your not for you to be going through, man. Oh, actually, he just jumped down. He didn't appear down there. Uses his remote control to close it. Berg doesn't like that. Like, we get it. It's your personal space. Then they start kind of messing around. They go, why do we even need this suit? I think Berg says that. They go, yeah, well, don't worry. We'll get it done. They say, oh, you're so great. They're like talking about Mando and his presence. They all laughing at him right now. And then talking about him like he's not there. Geez, Shihan, is he good? She goes, well, what about Elzak 3? Mando goes, I did what I had to do. She goes, you liked it, though. She goes, I know who you really are. And they go, well, what about the helmet? So then they try to get him to take this is the way. And they go, well, we want to see your face. We don't necessarily trust you. And so then we have a little dance off. And then Oso gets revealed in Oso's hiding spot. They go, what is this, a pet or something? Man, he goes, yeah, something like that. It's a pet. He goes, you're really odd, man. Also, Mayfeld has Berg do his work for him. And they go, Jesus, he goes, what's this code of yours? Certainly is interesting. Mayfeld says he doesn't have patience for a pet. Geez, I can't believe you'd have a pet. Maybe that code of yours has made you soft. Oh, Shihan says that. I don't have the temperament for pets, Mayfeld says. But then he picks up Baby Oso. He goes, maybe I'll try again. Mando, try some balance. Not being overprotective. So they don't know how much he values Oso. But then they arrive, they're dropping out of hyperspace, commencing final approach. They got to do some wild moves in the ship, which seems to have some gravity because everybody gets tossed around. Oso gets put away and they land on the ship. And they say, okay, whoa, Zero Man's commence extraction. Like, we didn't even get a proper countdown. And they go, geez, are we ready? He goes, oh, yeah, it's scrambling our signature. And I hacked in the computer, Zero says. And we got a job to do. Then Mando has to hack into the door or whatever, pick the lock, which everyone does. But everyone's making eyes while he's doing it. They're also a little bit jumpy. And then Mayfeld has to go first after you. We see some Daleks. So it's very, this it did have a Doctor Who feel to this episode a couple times. And then the nod kind of with the Dalek type robots. I did wonder about the handheld communicators that are still like the lip balm things. But, you know, what are you going to do? They say, get us to control room 0, sublevel 3. Oh, then Mando looks after Oso, then jumps down. Then he says, I know the drill, bio trackers, Ron. Watch out for the droids. So they start moving. We see Zero's watching them. They start going down these hallways. All are kind of these white hallways. We see some forest friends that are all the ship's like a little bit like a hostel. Everybody's sleeping there in their bunks from all different worlds. Also, somebody says, I don't like this, which reminded me of a paranoid android, or maybe, oh, yeah, oh, no, someone, oh, they call, they say, oh, geez, are you paranoid, Mando? Left at the next juncture, and they see one of those little rolling bots, and Berg doesn't like it. He says, oh, little puppy. And, of course, he chases after it, which sends the droids in to check on them. There's a showdown, and Mando's not there. And he slides up behind them. Interesting, because I didn't point this out earlier, but everybody's on ice skates. I forgot that part. And so now there's like ice skating and everybody's trying to skate. It's like a combination of hockey and figure skating. And Mando comes up behind and does like three triple sow cows and a Lutz, a triple Lutz, and it's over. Everybody's impressed. But they're impressed, but then they're not. They try to act like they're not, and they walk away. They go, oh, clean up your mess. They don't treat him with any respect. But again, we get a hint of Mando's capabilities. And then Zero goes, okay, you've been detected. Also, I think I see an organic signature somewhere, or something comes up. Then there's a standoff. Where they have the organic signature, which is like a person, because they thought they're only going to be figure skating with droids, and they realized that this is, they thought maybe it'd be like it's a human judge, so they try to say, well, geez, if you're going to be judging these rest of our figure skating, you can't. They say, are you sure you're not? And they say, well, I'm representing the droids. I'm like a, just like in the height of the Cold War. With figure skating, they say, well, how are you a judge if you're on the side of the droids? You're supposed to be judging fairly. And this judge just says, no, 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 I'm for Republic droids, period. So this is a bit, and they say, you know what, I'm going to call in the IOC or whatever. So he hits an alarm. They say, easy, egghead, nice shoes. Mando tries to take over as the judge. He says, well, let's not tick off the judge, because this was before they dropped the top and lowest score. He says, what's your name? Davin or something, Davin. Meanwhile, they find out where the person they're trying to catch, get out is. Why don't you both be quiet? There's blinking. Zero to Mayfeld, you got 20 minutes. They say, fine, we only need 5. We see Mando run on skates, which was interesting. Berg tosses the Daleks. He does like this Dalek hammer throw. Then they open up. They get the guy they're rescuing. Quinn, I think, is his name. And he goes, geez, here he is, the man who left me behind. My one-time skating training partner left me behind, you know, at this, you know, 96 Olympics or something. I mean, this is in another world, so I'm just kind of translating. And they say, Mando, you're going to have to stay. You get a timeout. You have to stay in this skating thinking room. We're going to go get flowers and teddy bears tossed to us. And get out of here and deliver the quarry. So then they call Zero because they're like, how do we even get out of here? And he says, oh, I'll get you out of here. Don't worry. Just follow my directions. He goes, by the way, I found some info on Mandalorian's ship. And they go, who cares right now? And the thing was, for the Mandalorian, he's put in one of those things, like a penalty box, I guess, is it, like exactly what he's in. They just call it something different. He actually uses actual elbow grease to get out. Then Zero notices this. We see Zero at the controls. And then Mando goes into the control room, like where the judges watch, because they don't watch. They watch all of these video screens. And he starts pressing buttons, like shutting down, releasing Zambonis, all that stuff. They say, Zero says, geez, you have a potential problem. Then Mando turns out the fluorescent lights, turns on these red lights, which make things way more moody, kind of like a night vision mode, which is cool. So Mando's kind of split up all, so the team has to split up while Mando just kind of watches. And they say, Zero, do you copy? And then he's like, I can't seem to get a hold of you. Let's see. Here's where they're splitting up. The red light are on. Say, come on, let's go. Mando's watching, shutting doors, splitting up Zambonis. And they say, yeah, yeah, you go that way, we'll go this way. That's when Zero says, let's see what Zero's going to say. Zero says, yeah, do you copy? Can't get a hold of you. Weird. Let me press some buttons here. Comms are no far longer functioning. You can't hear me, obviously. You're on your own. Then we hear Oso, and Zero sees Oso and says, curious. Then they're back on the ship. They say, find Mando. Then we go back to Zero and Oso making contact. They decide to play hide and seek on the ship. And I think he says, do you have a name? Mayfeld calls. Oh, no. That's the dude. This kind of guy reminded me a little bit of like that he could have been played by David Bowie, this other character that they rescued. He goes, oh, do you have a name? Mayfeld says, yeah, he's obviously like from a rich family. Cause he says, do you even have a name? He goes, Mayfeld. He goes, well, you're going to get me off the ship, Mayfeld. He goes, what about your sister? Is she on? Is his sister? He goes, just get me off the ship, man. I don't really care about that stuff. Mando's still watching. He thinks about the beacon that called in the IOC. Red Halls, they talk about Mando disliking the droid. Mayfeld keeps calling Zero because I'm ZZZ. Yeah, let's see. So he picks up the beacon. Says, I don't need no IOC coming here to reevaluate everything. And we got the hallways, Mayfeld and the Bowie-esque dude. I don't know why. I said, reminds me of David Bowie. Not exactly sure why. Mayfeld's calling ZZ. Can't get a hold of anything. He's frustrated. The guy goes, hey, whatever Rand promised, I'll give you triple. Just get me out of here, buddy. He says, yeah, I'm going to get out of here. You go get Mando. Quinn is his name. I forgot that. So he sends Mayfeld off after Mando. Then we have this really cool sequence. Everybody looking for Mando. There's great music. Zero and Oso are playing hide and seek. But Oso says, I don't know if Zero is going to play fair. Then we have the Rand. This was like a Bond, like a brief, like it was a sequence from a Bond movie, I felt like, in a good way. Rand says, well, I'm going to play the hockey version of this figure skating hockey game and not the figure skating version. And so he uses a lot of hockey moves on Mando, who's not quite ready for it. And also Mando uses all these James Bond-esque gadgets, which don't work. Berg is interested in seeing Mando's face. But then he sees, they do like a thing where Mando says, look through door number one. And then he says, look through door number two. And Mando gets away. Then Shihan was just looking for Mando. We see Zero looking for Oso. We get the idea that I think Mando outskated Shihan. Then Mayfeld, there's like this 80s type music playing that goes to an industrial type music. Really, really good again in these moments. And Mando goes in like, he has like it reminds me of like a Rudy Galindo moment because there's like strobe lighting and it's just an overpowering moment where he skates on, where Mayfeld can't even get his bearings because of the strobe lighting and music and stuff. And so he can't, he's like so jumpy. Then Zero also has a new hiding spot. Zero's trying to find it. Quinn is waiting. He's about to get on the ship, and then Mando's there. He goes, yeah, I outskated everybody. They got what they deserved. Then I think Quinn, maybe, I don't know, understand the money situation, but I don't know why, because I put a money symbol. Because you think basically Quinn says, I'll pay you to bring me back anyway. All the money Ram promised and more. Be reasonable. You were hired to do a job. Isn't that your code? You're a man of honor. Like, let's put the skating aside. And we see Zero is about to find Oso. And then Oso's about to do the magic hands. But then Mando appears and says, oh, no, no, no. You're staying in on the ice skating ship without everybody. And Oso goes, oh, Papa. Hello, oh, Papa. And then they're out. They go back to the space station. We see the radar. They land. Mando, Razorcrest. First, we just see Ran. He's all smiles. I guess he didn't know what to expect. Then he sees a door open. He laughs because he's thinking that Mando didn't come back. You know, he thinks that it's just going to be Quinn and his crew. And I think, let's see who gets off first again. There's where Oso, I'm watching Oso says, oh, Papa, hello, Papa. Coos or whatever. Googly, googly, goo. That's what Oso says a lot of times. Razorcrest takes off. I guess it, like the way the beacon works for the IOC is different for everybody. So then they go, you know, they see the Razorcrest jump, and now it's going into the space station. Mando's pushing buttons, checking his radar. Rand's looking. It lands. He's standing there, and he's pretty pleased. He says, "Okay, well." And then we see Mando and Quinn. He goes, "Huh? Oh boy, didn't calculate this one." Quinn doesn't look, he looks happy to be free, but they laugh. They have a big hug. Where's everybody else? Everything went fine, Mando? Where's all the others? He goes, no questions asked. That's the policy. He goes, yeah, that's the policy. Mando goes, pay it up, sucker. So Quinn reaches in, throws him some stacks. Mando says, just like the good old days. And he goes, I'm out, all right. They look after him. And then they frown as soon as he turns his back. They don't like Mando, really. Closes the door. Quinn's got a muscle shirt on, and he has muscles to back it up. Mando's taken off. Ran waves at him. And he kind of reverses out of the ship. And they say, all right, let's take Mando and make him go bye-bye. We're going to IOC doping convention type thing. But we quickly realize, you know, that this won't happen. Mando's too smooth for that. We hear a little beeping. And they say, wait a second, what's that beeping noise? Quinn, Mando planted it on Quinn. He says, what's this thing? He goes, that's the IOC button, man. That's it. We're toast. Oh, dear. Not good. And then we see three X-Wings jump in. Somehow they miss Mando. Mando takes off. And the three pilots say, okay, we got a link on the beacon. Probably trouble. Oh, looks like they're launching some sort of ship. Let's just take them all and, say go bye-bye. And so that's the end of them. Mando 1, J-U-R-K-S is a 0. And the Mando jumps the ship. Into space, going through hyperspace, Ken is tired. We see Baby Oso. He gives Baby Oso his ball to play with. He goes, here, buddy, play with the ball. That was a bad idea, but I guess we got paid. And but growl, something. I don't know what that is. Oh, there it is. It's the three of them, Mayfeld. We get a little post thing of Mayfeld, Sheehan, and Berg. And they're in the penalty box. He growls. It's like they all have headaches. That's what it was. They're all holding their heads. At least Mayfeld and Berg are. And then we have the wrap. I counted 12 paintings, but, it, you know, I've probably been wrong on it every time I've counted. But with that episode comes to a close. So let's see what came up on this episode I wrote about here or researched. Slot machine was the first thing. So let's go to Wikipedia and look up slot machine. Slot machine known as a fruit machine, a puggy, the slots, poker pokies, or simply slot is a good casino machine, game of chance. Also known by their large mechanical levers attached to the side of early mechanical machines. It usually has three or more reels that spin when the game is activated. Some still use the lever, but more as a design trait, because now they've been superseded by random number generators and are operated with push buttons or touch screens. They usually include some way to validate payment, coin, cash, voucher, token. But yeah, let's look at the history. The first one was developed by Stipman and Pitt in Brooklyn, 1891. It had five drums with a total of 50 card faces based on poker. It was popular. Many bars in the city had them. They were a nickel. And they'd be hoping for, there was no direct payment mechanism, but a pair of kings might get a free beer. Royal Flush would pay out cigars or drinks. So it's interesting. It was kind of like, I don't know what you call it, but. Due to the vast number of possible wins, it proved practically impossible to come up with a way to make the machine capable of making an automatic payment for all combinations. But somewhere between 1887 and 1895, Charles Fay of San Francisco devised a simpler automatic mechanism. With three reels and five symbols, horseshoes, diamonds, spades, hearts, and the Liberty Bell. The bell gave the machine its name. Three reels instead of five drums. The complexity was reduced and allowed Fay to devise an automatic payment payout mechanism. Three bells in a row would pay 10 nickels, and it was a huge success, Liberty Bell. And it went on from there, I guess. Until entire industries and... So there's a lot more about it, the article on Wikipedia. And what about the It Crowd? Holy cow. We got a little bit of and a taste of it here through Zero, which if I don't know if you've seen it. It's a British sitcom broadcast by Channel 4. It's set in a fictional office and it revolves around the members of the IT staff. Maurice, Roy, and Jen, and kind of, I guess you don't want to ruin the show too much, but you kind of got to see it. It premiered all the way back in 2006, and it ran for four series of six episodes each. The sixth was commissioned but not produced. There was a special in 2013. What else do you mean? I mean, it's kind of a show you should see. I don't know where, I'm sure you could stream it somewhere. It was internationally syndicated on ABC in Australia, UK TV, GTV, Comedy Central in Germany, in Poland, HBO in Czech Republic. And the IFC. It's also on Netflix, Tubi TV, and Hulu, it says here. And while fifth season was created or commissioned in 2011, and they did start pre-production, they were going to do it as a goodbye, but I don't know if it, I guess it just didn't work out. Could just couldn't make it work with the schedules of people's work schedules and stuff like that. But it's definitely a show you should check out. I mean, delightful, delightful little performances and stuff. Also, You Wear It Well was said in this episode about the Beskar Armor, which is a Rod Stewart song written by Rod Stewart and Martin Quittington. Kind of sounds very similar to Maggie May. It was it came out in 72, Never a Dull Moment. International hit, number one on the UK singles chart. In the US, it hit 13. Stewart performed it on Top of the Pops with the full lineup of Faces. And also a 2013 performance. Not much more about it. I don't know. When I Googled You Wear It Well, that was the first thing that came up. Another show that came up was, that I've talked about on the podcast before, is The Prisoner, which is a 1967 British science fiction TV series, which is very out there, very 60s, 70s TV, British TV. It has a little bit of spy, a little bit of science fiction, and it's very different. It was a single season of 17 episodes, 1966 to 1968. Let's see. It was first broadcast in Canada, then the UK, then in the US. What else we got here? It kind of had that 60s countercultural feel, surrealistic fantasy. I guess it was a remake on AMC in 2009. And I'm trying to think of what we could talk about. Like, it follows this unnamed person who suddenly finds himself in a mysterious village in the mountains. He meets people, starts to walk around. No, everyone has names and not numbers. But it's like, obviously, he gets number six, the main character. And obviously, there's a number one that does it. Like, and then there's number two who he's in contact with, trying to figure stuff out. And I don't know, it's a show you definitely should check out because it's very different. And I'm not sure, I'm sure it's available somewhere. I thought about doing it for the podcast, but it's just not as wide. I don't know if maybe one day or maybe as a bonus or something. Home media. Oh, there was a book, there was comics, there was DVDs. And I'm sure it's like, that 40 DVD box set, Blu-ray. So definitely another thing you could check out. What about Paranoid Android? That's a song from OK Computer from Radiohead, 1997. It was written, it's 6 minutes long, four sections. It's named after Marvin, the Paranoid Android from Hitchhiker's Guide. It made it to number three on the UK singles chart. It's regularly considered one of the great songs. The first version was 42 minutes long, very Pink Floyd-esque, I guess. It says here on Wikipedia, it kind of got deep purpley. And they did put it out on one of their compilations. But then they shortened it down. It replaced a big organ solo with a guitar solo. I guess it was recorded near Bath, It's kind of has parts from three different songs, a little bit of Beatles, a little bit of Pixies, and a little bit of the Queen. Let's see, because Paranoid Android is described as alternative rock or art rock or progressive rock, G minor, 84 beats per minute, release and reception, music video, packaging. I'm just trying to read through anything. Cover versions, a lot of cover versions on here. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. You can link to it. You read more about it here. What about, don't forget about Clancy Brown, the great actor, one of the great actors, plays a lot of non-good guys, even though he seems like a good guy. He's been in the movie, let's see, he's been in Highlander, Shawshank, Carnival. He's in the most recent Thor movie, Earth 2. Yeah, he's been on almost everything. ER, The Riches, The Deep End, Leverage, Dukes of Hazzard, The Flash, Daredevil. Does a ton of voiceover. Holy cow. In Marvel and DC. Oh, he's in Buckaroo Banzai. Let's see what else he was in here. Blue Steel. Starship. Wow. Let's see what else we got here. Cowboys and Aliens. What else do we get? Hail Caesar. And then television. He's been on TV since 1983. I'm pretty sure, wasn't he in Lost? Yeah, 2006. He was like a classic character briefly on Lost. I remember them talking about it on the Lost podcast, how much they wanted to work with him. Little Mermaid, the Little Mermaid TV show, though. Hercules, the TV show. So, I don't know, just another nice thing, Clancy Brown. And, you know, let's finish up with elbow grease. Elbow grease is an idiom, according to Wikipedia, for working hard. Figure of speech in humorously indicating nothing but hard work is needed. I don't know. I just, like, thought it was interesting because that's how the Mandalorian gets out. It's actual using the elbow grease from a droid. So that's the end of the episode discussion. I'm just going to turn it over here really quick to Wendy Marshtrap. Oh, thanks, Scooter. Hey, this is Wendy Marshtrap here with your few minutes in visiting Star Wars Galaxies. I wanted to tell you, if you can, don't worry, I'm here with Dewey, my Dewback, and wanted to tell you, if you're ever in the area, visit Sorgan. That's S-O-R-G-A-N, Sorgan. It's a beautifully remote planet, forests. If you like I know that people listening, they may have interests like walking in the woods. You could do that in Sorgan. If you like swimming, oh boy, Sorgan is like a land of lakes and ponds and rivers everywhere. Very, very lush, but temperate. If you're a fan of, now I know everybody, particularly Scooter, doesn't eat shellfish, but if you do enjoy krill, which is a bit like shrimp, I may be, but I don't know, but you'll love Sorgan. And then also, oh, so many villages with handcrafted goods. And then, of course, Sorgan is best known for its liquors. It's the home of many glowing liquors, which people really, really like to drink. So you could come there. If you wanted to have a drink that glows, come to Sorgan. Sorgan, the home of drinks that glow. This is Wendy Marshtrap and Dewey the Dewback saying, visit Sorgan for the forests, for the people, and for the glowing drinks. Good night. All right. I want to thank everybody that reviewed the podcast recently. Yoga, Yoga 123 said amazing relief. I'll always, always fall asleep before it gets to the story. I could fall asleep for hours last night. Put this on. I was out in 10 minutes. Thank you. Then Danny L, 22 from the UK, greatest sleep aid. Listening for 4 years, never fails, helped me to sleep. Don't even get to the episode. Only thing that works for me. Fallout 321 says, this is a lifesaver. Podcast is a must listen. Use it when I'm traveling. And also any night when my mind is racing. It helps, puts me to ease, helps me fall asleep. Layla Blue 22, magical podcast, works without fail. I'm lulled to sleep, safe, at ease, and drowsy. Joe McCall says, Get Best is my all-time favorite. Couldn't imagine what I'd do without it. When I can't sleep, gives me something to focus on, helps me feel less alone, and also helps with my impatience to get back to sleep, because it gives me something to keep my mind occupied. Lindsay says, the best. I recommend this to every person ever. A certain age says, it's hypnosis, it's magic, it's unicorns, it works. A safe place to sleep, a trusted friend, read to me till I fall asleep for however long it takes. If you dread bedtime as I used to, because the time when you're most alone, you owe it to yourself to try it at least 3 times. That's how long it took for me to stop trying to figure out the trick and simply let it work. As soon as I can, I'll join the sleepy supporters. Tim did not enjoy the podcast, not for me. That's pretty honest and clear. June said the best for sleep. Never heard the end of it because it puts me to sleep every time. And then Mako Does It from Canada said, better than any sleeping pill. When I wake up after sleeping this podcast, I don't even know what it was about. But I know I was put to sleep. It never takes me more than 20 minutes. I adore this. So thanks, everybody, for reviewing the podcast there. You can review the podcast on Apple Podcasts or whatever app you use. You can check to see. It's just let somebody know about the podcast. That's how we grow. And Sleep With Me exists as a free podcast because people that support the show on Patreon, buy the merch, support the sponsors. So thank you for all that. And here's the podcast I want you to know about from Nightfall Presents.
Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.